Before we get to this week's Survivor exit interview for episode number 3 of David vs. Goliath, I want to thank our friends over at True Car who have some useful car tips that you might not be aware of, like how a coffee filter and, get this, a little bit of olive oil can clean the interior of your car. You could also remove the excess weight from your car to improve its gas mileage, and you can also place a keychain remote right underneath your chin to increase its range. Those are weird tips. Here's one that's not so weird. True Car can help you get a great deal on a used car as well. That's right. True Car is not just for buying a new car. Oh, no. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory, nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience whether you buy a new or used car. And with True Car, you can see what other people paid, so you'll know if you're getting a good deal before you buy. And you'll also be more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience as well when you connect with a True Car certified dealer. So when you're ready to buy that new or used car, check out True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with our exit interview number 3 for Survivor David versus Goliath. And I am excited for this one because I am looking forward to talking with Jeremy Crawford, who we saw voted out of the tribe last night. I would not have picked him as somebody who I thought was going to be going home in this episode before it came on last night, but unfortunately for us, that was the case, as he was the first person voted out of the Goliath tribe. So we'll have him, and then I will be taking on the great Will from America in the This Week in a Survivor History quiz with Jordan Kalish. If you missed it last night, Survivor Know-It-Alls, we were back in our respective places that we record for the first time this season, Stephen and I. So that's up on Rob's website. And then I am going to then release later on today my conversation with Eric Reichenbach, though I had a fun chat with Eric that I recorded last night. It'll be posted later on today, so be on the lookout for that. And then voicemails coming over the weekend with Tyler Fredrickson and The Wiggle Room still to come, not to mention the RHAP of B&B and why Jeremy lost, all on robhasawebsite.com. And then real quick, before we bring in Jeremy, we are only 13 days away from our live show that we are going to be doing in Reno, Nevada at the Peppermill Resort and Casino, part of Jason Somerville's Run It Up Reno Poker Tournament. You do not need to play poker or even buy a ticket to join us live in person in Reno, Nevada for our live Re-Know-It-Alls event, where I will be joined by Tyson, Boston Rob, Adam Klein, Michelle Fitzgerald, Coach, all in person. We'll watch the episode. We'll do the live recap and then karaoke party to follow. It's a great time, all put together by Jason Somerville and his Run It Up Reno. It is completely free for you to attend. Just get yourself down to the Peppermill Resort and Casino in Reno, Nevada on October 24th. We will also be streaming that episode as well, but we will be on West Coast time that night, so that will not be on live right after the episode on the 24th. For more information, go to runitupreno.com. Use the promo code RIUReno for discounted tickets at the Peppermill Resort and Casino. All right, looks like we have Jeremy here on the line. Let's go ahead and patch him in. Jeremy, are you there?
Good morning. How are you?
Jeremy, I'm not that great. I'm not thrilled to be talking to you this morning because you were one of the standouts so far of the season, as far as I'm concerned. And I don't like it when the people that I think are fun get voted out.
I hate it worse than you, Rob.
All right, well, that would be tough, but I guess that's probably right. Jeremy, so talk to me about this tribal council. Were you blindsided by the way that the vote went?
No. From the beginning, I knew, from the first day, I knew that, at least the first couple of days, that if we lost, it would be me or Natalie. Mm-hmm. Because Kara was in a showman's with Dan, Alec, and Natalie were kind of in a Mr. Jones, Mr. Smith type situation. And Angelina was in a showman's with John. And Allison was literally the only person who could do puzzles. So mm-hmm. Michael's a millionaire. Nobody's getting rid of a millionaire. So it didn't leave anybody but me and Natalie. Me and Natalie both are over 42, I'll say.
Your relationship with Natalie really was a center stage for these last couple episodes. It started off seemingly positive when you went to her last week and said, hey, let me just tell you how you're being perceived. That did not go well, and things just seemed to spiral from there. Do you have any regrets about the way that you handled trying to talk to Natalie?
No. Natalie is a rage and regret kind of person. And if you let Natalie stew in her own mind too long, she gets even worse. And what you can't really see on the TV is that we needed, in order to win challenges, you can't have egos going into the challenge. Because when somebody from the sideline says something or somebody tries to tap in and you tap out, if it's a lot of egos, you won't do that. And what Natalie was doing was causing so much dissension that I was worried that we wouldn't be able to perform in challenges. And in fact, in the last challenge, Angelina and Natalia, the engineer and the Yale Stanford graduate, set out because Natalie refused to sit out because by that point, me and her were not talking. And so you see what happens. She sits out, can't do a puzzle at all, but Allison is out there doing it by herself. Mm-hmm. That's what happens when you, so what happens in camp, it matters because when you get into these challenges, if somebody doesn't tap out or somebody won't, you know, talk to each other, you'll end up like a Davis with that exercise for the reward challenge, how they were not communicating. And so a lot of times I was like the person trying to keep the peace. But me and Natalie never had a direct conflict. The first conflict was Natalie and Natalia. That was huge. Natalie couldn't stand Natalia. Everything Natalia did, Natalie had a problem with. And it boiled over to where you saw that first conversation I'm having with Natalie, like, hey, Natalia ain't really trying to come for you, and you are rubbing people the wrong way. Then the next fight was her and Mike, and then she got in a fight with her and Dan, who was her closest friend. Mm-hmm. And so it was just always something. And so I was trying to just keep her kind of from just boiling over. Firefighters get burned.
Yeah. It seemed like that Angelina was leading the charge to come after you in this episode. Was that in response to you telling people about Dan's idol?
I didn't tell anybody about Dan's idol until maybe 10, 15 minutes before we left for tribal.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't talk strategy with anybody except Mike. That's why Mike's in his confessionals, it sounds like I'm always talking strategy because I'm only talking strategy with him. I didn't have an alliance, so I didn't have anybody I could really talk to. Angelina wanted me out because she didn't want her showmance with John exposed.
Mm-hmm. So can you talk about that? Now, was that a actual showmance or it was a perceived showmance?
On her part, actual. On his part, more strategy.
So
on it wasn't something that, you know, I mean, I don't know the definition of actual showmance or not is. That's based on, you know, I guess whoever makes up the term, but mm-hmm. with Angelina, John's right-hand man and you know, yeah.
Okay.
And a showmance.
So I just want to, you know, while I have you here on the line, I know you do a lot of interviews and, you know, some of them get posted. And so I know that you've been talking about how that she was upset about she was upset that you used the term showmance. But was there actually a showmance or you were joking that there's a showmance?
There was an actual showmance, but I was joking when I said it. The exact thing I said was, if Angelina doesn't be careful, she's going to have problems when she goes home. Mm-hmm. Because she was trying not to put it on camera, but it was starting to become so obvious, you know, that I was like, oof, you know, this is obvious. You know, I mean, it wasn't obvious to me, it was obvious to everybody.
Mm-hmm. And
but
she,
it wasn't on the show, so I don't want to go too much in depth into it. But I have to tell you this little tidbit because the eviction wouldn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wasn't the strongest Canada and I didn't have an alliance.
Yes. So you feel like that she was vindictive towards you for talking about this?
Yeah, that's what she told me. Well, I mean, but, you know, it's not on the show, so I'm only giving it to you to give a little light.
Because we appreciate it.
For me as a super fan, a 9-1 vote of somebody who everybody loves on the first vote on a tribe that hasn't lost is a very unusual thing.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you really can show that this person is a strong threat. But I wasn't the most physical. Alex was the most physical. John was the most physical. Dan was the most physical after that. The fourth most physical. And I didn't have an alliance, you know. I didn't have an idol.
Mm-hmm.
So the notion that somebody is able to galvanize people in a 30-minute period to do something, I think, to the super fan, doesn't job. So I'm only giving you a little background about something that maybe wasn't captured, just mm-hmm. to give you background, but I don't want to just dwell on it.
Okay. So in the preseason, I know you told Josh Wiggler early on that before the game started, I'm very concerned about the women getting together in this season. And then, you know, you end up on this tribe where we saw three of the women talking last week about this idea of, hey, let's all get a partner. And so did you feel like that your expectations of what was potentially going to happen, that you were seeing that play out in front of you?
Well, you looked at our tribe and the David tribe, the strength of the women was not something that you couldn't see. It was readily apparent. And then when we got on the show and like when we landed on the island and I saw that all of the strongest women were on my side, it just made sense, you know, that these women would somewhat work together, you know. And when you look at, I mean, no offense to anybody on my tribe, but doctor, Yale graduate, engineer, multi-million dollar real estate salesperson, and former cheerleader who has been around men, so she knows how to deal with men. That was the women. The men were a waiter, a wrestler, and a cop. And then me, and then two gays. So, I mean, it didn't take a rocket science to realize that these women, you know, would be playing a good game. They had an upper hand.
What made you suspect that Dan might have had the idol in his pocket to go check his jacket?
Because when it started raining, which was every 5 minutes, Kara ran past her own clothes on our makeshift clothesline to grab Dan's jacket.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't make no sense. Why would you grab a coat that has never been dry because the coat has too much heavy stitching to ever get dry in a torrential rain, to run past your one pair of socks and your one t-shirt that you got on this whole island?
Yeah.
Just going to be wet to grab that jacket. I was like, oh, there's the item. Ain't no use looking no more.
Jeremy, I feel like that you are so super observant that I feel like that there's nothing that gets past you. Is that almost a liability in this game where I feel like that you notice every single little thing that's going on and then it's almost like information overload?
Not really, because I'm very funny and I'm very playful.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you saw a 15-minute montage of me scrambling, the reality is that was 9 days that you didn't see me talking to anybody about strategy or anything like that, because I didn't think we needed to. And, you know, I didn't have an alliance, so there was no reason to be going on about strategy all the time. But, you know, I was observant, but you got to realize, they made me look great when it comes to, like, being this mastermind last night.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the reality. And the reality is, I'm no better probably than Allison, no better probably than Angelina or Natalia. Like, it's just because I got kicked out, and I don't know if you really, and we had that, what I call the undercover reason, that it looks like I'm the greatest mastermind on TV.
Mm-hmm.
But that was just a scramble. That was a scramble.
Because
mm-hmm. I didn't tell a soul about Dan's idol, except Mike, until about 30 minutes at most before we got on the boats. That when I was under the little tent telling Allison and the rest, that was like 10 minutes before we got on the boat. Because I didn't think I needed to, because I thought it was, we were going to do, we were going to do Natalie. But when I started realizing that the girls, Angelina was doing all this stuff, I was like, okay. But I didn't think it was because of the reason I said before. I thought it was because the girls wanted to do an all-boy alliance. Only watching the show, was I able to really piece it all together and some of the rumors and things. I was like, oh, okay. Because I watched the show, I think I'm smart as shit, but I knew I wasn't me.
That's how we all feel.
I mean, I'm very good at doing an analysis of how smart I am and how much I stack up to other people. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't do puzzles.
Yeah.
I wasn't the most physical. I looked strong, but I didn't get up there and hold them. Mike held those puzzle pieces up. That puzzle piece challenge was 2 hours.
Yeah.
I wasn't getting up there, And so, I was just like, we could act like I'm the most. I didn't think it was true.
Jeremy, I know you had a run. We were all very touched by the story about you and your father last night, and hope everything is going okay with that whole situation.
Yeah, we hope for the best.
Yeah. Thank you so much, and all the best. Hopefully we can talk again in the future, okay?
I'm here.
Okay.
All right, Jeremy. Call away.
All right. Take care, buddy.
Bye.
Everybody, there you have it. Jeremy Crawford here on the podcast. Sorry, we had to cut it short with Jeremy, and I hope it's some consolation that Natalie told him that his skin looked great. And I got to be honest, I still don't exactly understand what he's trying to tell me with the showmans. I think, what I've been able to piece together from some of the interviews this morning, it sounds like that he called them a showmance, and then I think she got upset about that, but maybe like they were just there was some trying to stay warm at night, and so I think that there's a little bit of a question of what constitutes a showmance, where I think that maybe she feels like that's definitely not a showmance, and he might feel like, hey, if you're cuddling at night, that is a showmance. And so it's a little, I didn't know that we had to really parse the definition of showmance, but I guess that's exactly the kind of thing that you have to get into in Survivor podcasting. But I'm sure that we will get some more clarity on this issue moving forward. And as we move forward, we will bring in the host of This Week in Survivor History for a segment that we recorded earlier this week. And it's a doozy because I'm going to be joined by Will from America to take me on with Jordan Kalish's This Week in Survivor History quiz. All right, everybody, let's get into our This Week in Survivor History quiz, which may need its own theme song. I'm actually surprised that we have not thought of that yet. Let me welcome in the host of This Week in Survivor History, the great Jordan Kalish.
Hey, Rob, how are you?
I was going to call you Dees Ghoulish because I believe that we are closing in on the one-year anniversary of first being Dees Ghoulish.
We are, yeah. It wasn't until we really said it on the podcast, but it started as sort of my October Halloween Twitter name. So yes, this is the month of Ghoulish. So that's the good news. The bad news is that as we're recording this, the Yankees are down 11-1, and Stephen Tarpley is in the game pitching for the Yankees.
Try to focus on the task at hand, Jordan. This game is
really
lost.
Dating ourselves with this.
Yes,
I know. The series could be over by the time the podcast airs.
I'm sure it'll be fine. Of course, joining us today, I'm very excited to have this man with us back on the podcast. Please welcome in the great Will from America.
What's up, everyone?
Yes, Will, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Rob?
I'm so excited to be talking to you. Will always makes me happy. Always excited to talk to Will.
Well, I always got a big smile on my face whenever I'm talking to you, Rob.
Okay, so good.
I'd return the favor.
Good. Yeah, Will,
it was great seeing you at Know-It-Alls this past week.
Yeah, thanks for hosting our game of Mafia, which I crushed it in.
Yeah, I believe you were a winner.
Yes,
I was. We should play a three-person game of Mafia on this podcast.
Okay, we'll see. If there's time. Will, can you tell me, what is the level of wish fulfillment right now?
Level of wish fulfillment? I mean, it's like one step above the Dom and Colin podcast and one step below the Russell Hantz show.
Why, have you appeared on both of those other programs?
Not yet.
Okay, but, not yet.
I mean, I'm just like, hypothetically, if I were to, that's like, I can gauge my excitement.
And maybe even one level higher might be to appear on the Barassi Barbecue.
Only, if only.
All right, before we get into fulfilling this week's Twitch, well, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, and those are our friends over at Lisa Mattress. Now, occasionally, I have struggled, that is true. Jordan, can you confirm? I have struggled at times with the This Week in Survivor History quiz.
You've struggled a lot, more than just at times.
And I think the answer to my problems might be my mattress, because I need to get on one of these Lisa mattresses so I can start remembering things better, stop making mistakes at work, because a quality night's sleep makes all the difference. The right mattress is the difference between just resting and laying down, because the Lisa mattress is the product of more than 30 years of experience in mattress engineering and hundreds of hours of testing, comprised of three foam layers that provide cooling pressure relief, body contouring, and support. Over 300,000 happy Lisa sleepers agree that the Lisa mattress gives them the rest that they need. So get your Lisa mattress online at lisa.com/RHAP with promo code RHAP to get a great offer and try it risk-free for 100 nights. Ships direct to your door in a convenient box with free shipping and free returns. I mean, Leaf might think about just sleeping in the box, but he would be sorely mistaken, because the Lisa mattress is incredible. Find the right mattress for you at lisa.com/RHAP. Get the rest you need tonight. Get up to $160 off the Lisa mattress or $235 off the luxury Sapira mattress and free shipping on the Lisa mattress at lisa.com/RHAP. Enter promo code RHAP at checkout. That's LEESA.com/RHAP with promo code RHAP for the amazing Lisa mattress. Okay.
Jordan. Yeah, Rob, is that Lisa Sleep or anything like the Lisa Kiefer?
Yeah, well, I would say that both will put you to sleep. How about that? Let's leave it at that.
Sounds good.
I was going to say, you're going to remember this mattress.
You will be sleeping soundly either way. All right. So, Jordan, tell us about what we're going to be looking at today.
All right. We are going to, as always, have four categories. The four categories correspond to four multiple choice questions. You'll each be able to answer two of them. If you choose to forgo your multiple choice options, you can gain 2 points on the question. However, you open the door for your opponent to steal a point. If you do hear your multiple choice and you are correct, you only gain 1 point. So our four categories today, we have Better Not Toss the Rock, Undrafted Free Agent, DIY, and Russell Seed.
Okay.
So, Will, as the guest, you get to choose your category first.
Let me just also say that I am very intimidated to have Will from America here, in addition to being an accomplished musician who has penned many of the theme songs that you hear on Rob's podcast. Will is not just a Survivor trivia buff, also a co-host of the Movie Morons podcast.
Am I?
Among other things.
Among other things. You flatter me too much, Rob.
And Will knows his stuff, Jordan.
Yes, I think Will might be our youngest guest ever on This Week in Survivor History.
Yes. Wow,
a regular Michael Yerger.
Yes. Yes. Well, how old are you saying you are, Will?
I'm saying that I'm 23.
Okay. All right. We'll see.
As I was saying in Boston.
Okay.
So I'm going to go to whatever the second one was, because I think I know what that's about.
Okay, Undrafted Free Agent. So we're going to go to Survivor Gabon. Yes. It Was Like Christmas Morning from October 9th, 2008, 10 years ago Tuesday. In the first tribe swap of the season, who was not selected to be on a tribe?
I'm going to go with Sugar.
Sugar is correct. Will, you were on the board with 2 points. You did not hear your multiple choice options. Yeah, Sugar had the Sugar Shack that season, so was the one person not drafted onto a tribe. She got sent back to Exile Island. So, very strong start for Will. Rob, it is your turn to choose a category.
Could I hear the names one more time?
Yes, the ones we have left. We have Better Not Toss the Rock, DIY, and Russell Seed.
Okay. I'll go with Better Not Toss the Rock.
Okay, so we're going to go to your favorite season, Survivor Guatemala, Crocs, Cowboys, and City Slickers from October 13th, 2005, 13 years ago this coming Saturday. In one of the biggest challenge blowouts in Survivor history, Yasha defeated Nakum when they were able to hack through a pair of ropes with a rock, cut their next pair with a machete, and take the cart ride down the slanted track before Nakum was able to cut their first pair of ropes with the rock. Who failed miserably at hacking the rope for Nakum, yet still wanted to finish the challenge once the tribe had already been defeated?
I think I know this. I feel like that I need to keep pace with Will, and I'm going to guess. I'm going to guess without hearing the choices.
Risky.
Okay. This is risky.
Risk it to get the biscuit.
Gotta risk it to get the biscuit. I'm going to say it was Jamie.
Jamie Newton. Rob, you get the biscuit. You get the 2 points. That's a 2-point biscuit.
Wow.
We have a tie here. What a guess. Yes. Jamie Newton, he's known for some of his antics during and after challenges. Yeah. And Steph really wasn't too pleased with him after losing the challenge. And now he wanted to finish the thing for no reason. She just wanted to, I think, go back to camp at that point. Yeah. And that was actually for the pool that got to go in their crocodile infested water.
Yes.
So yes. They finally got to take a little bit of a dip. Rob, you know something about water that you can't swim in on Survivor.
Yes, it's one of the things that I actually research quite a bit.
Better challenge beast, Jamie Newton or Jamie Dugan?
I mean, Jamie Newton, he seemed like he was like good at like fighting with Bobby John.
That's true. I don't know if that's ever a challenge. Mm-hmm. But I guess if it was, he'd have it on lock.
Yeah.
We are going to go to, it is Will's turn. Will, you get to choose the category. The ones we have left are DIY and Russell Seed.
I'm going to go with DIY.
Okay, so we're going to go to Survivor Samoa, Hungry for a Win from October 8th, 2009, 9 years ago Monday. Wow. In the do-it-yourself bocce ball challenge, who hit the winning shot to win chickens for the Galoo tribe?
Did you know that Survivor Samoa is actually the first season I watched live, Jordan?
I did not.
Oh.
Well, yeah.
Do you know who the first survivor you followed on Twitter was?
The first survivor I followed on Twitter, I think, was probably Alexis Maxwell.
I didn't check, but I will fact check that in the middle of the session.
Why Alexis Maxwell?
Why not? I mean, she has really great cutting commentary. Always just says exactly what happens in the episode. It's really the new Rupert tweet.
Yeah.
Underrated survivor okay. tweeter.
So your first season, you should remember it well. Who hit the winning shot to win the chickens in the bocce ball challenge?
So his sport of choice may be making love, but on this day it was bocce ball. It was Dave Ball.
Dave Ball is correct. Will, you have a 4-2 lead, and Rob, you have one more multiple choice question before the final round.
Yes.
And this category is Russell Seed. We're actually going to stay in the same episode of Samoa.
You don't say.
Russell Hance plants an ill-fated Russell Seed in his own head in this episode when he decides that he should go to the end of the game with Natalie. Who did Russell originally say he had planned to go to the end with before switching it to Natalie?
I would like to hear the choices.
Okay, so you're conceding the fact that you're going to be going into the final round with a deficit, but it doesn't mean that you can't come back and win. So the choices are A, Mick, B, Ben Browning, C, Jason, D, Shambo.
I don't think it was Shambo because this is pre-merge, so I would take her
awful foresight
out of the equation. So, Mick, Ben, or who was the other person?
Jason. Three Survivor Legends.
Okay. I don't know the answer to this one. I'll say Ben.
Ben, unfortunately, was not in the game at this point. Russell had actually voted out Ben in the previous episode. He was he didn't really want to, but Ben had been really bothering the rest of the tribe, especially Jason. And Jason is the correct answer. But once Russell thought that he may end up not having his head in the game, he may even end up quitting. He decided that he wasn't someone he could work with the whole way. So, Rob, you do not score on that question. Will has a commanding 4-2 lead. But as you know, on this final question, you're able to score 3 points, so you can still win the quiz. The death match in this week is called Bait Blake. This is the we talked about Guatemala already, but this is the Bait Blake episode, which is probably what it's most known for. Blake Towsley was voted out this week in Survivor history, partly due to his tribe becoming annoyed by his outlandish stories. This was memorably aided by Brian Corridon's Bait Blake strategy, which goaded him in front of the tribe. You will alternate choosing random numbers from 1 through 5. Each number corresponds with a story that Blake told at the Shaw camp, along with a fake story.
Oh boy!
You must answer the story that Blake actually told. 4 answers will be given during this round, and if you're incorrect, you may not gain any more points unless we go to a tiebreaker. Therefore, if you're incorrect in your first response, you open the door for your opponent to gain 3 points in this round. If there's a tie after 4 answers, we'll go to a tiebreaker. So, Rob, you're in danger of losing your second week in a row. Last week, you were taken down by Mary Kwiatkowski. This week, Will from America is looking
right
to do the
I
same
like
thing.
When
and
you get
you wrong,
survivors and I beat them.
Yes, the survivors, I think, historically have been easier to beat.
Yes.
So that's why this is such a tough matchup this week, because Will, as far as what I know about Will, has not yet played Survivor. So, Rob, choose a number from 1 through 5.
I will go with number 5. Somebody remember to tweet to Brian Corridon and make sure he hears this episode.
Yes, Brian Corridon may be someone who might one day, hopefully, if he's listening, appear on This Week in Survivor History. So you've chosen number 5. Did Blake Towsley say, "I was almost arrested for skateboarding under the influence," or did he say, "The cops gave me a warning for not having a proper signaling device"?
Like for a skateboard?
What's the second one again?
The second one is, "The cops gave me a warning for not having a proper signaling device."
I'll say that the second one is the real one. Am I finding the real one or the fake one?
You're finding the real one.
I'll say the second one is the real one.
The second one is the real one. You are correct. The first one is actually what Fabio ended up getting arrested for after Survivor. So, Will, you have a 4-3 lead here. Still doing well, but Rob is getting close. Will, choose a number from 1 through 4.
Let's go with 1.
Okay, did he say, "I've been skydiving 70 times, or "I've been scuba diving 20 times"?
These are both realistic possibilities. I'm going to go with scuba diving.
Scuba diving 20 times. Will, that is the probably the more realistic of the two. Unfortunately, he said that he had been skydiving
70 times. Is a lot.
It is a lot. It was ridiculous. And that's why I think the one that I made up is definitely more doable for a normal person.
I would have definitely said.
We're talking about Golden Boy here.
Golden Boy.
It's golden hair. But Rob.
Skydiving 70 times.
Here's the deal, Bro Chacho. Will got his first question.
Will,
wrong.
I am going to beat you down.
So what you get to do here, if you were wrong here, Will wins.
Mm-hmm.
If you are right here, we have a tie, and you actually get the final question, being that you haven't gotten one wrong yet in the category. Mm-hmm. So it's really do or die here.
I know everything about Bait Blake.
If you're wrong, Will wins. Yes, but Blake Towsley, very just like we were talking about Jason and Mick before, Survivor legend. Pick either 2, 3, or 4.
Hey, kids, it's me, Towsley. I will go with what numbers available?
2, 3, or 4.
I will go with 2.
Okay, did he say, "I played on the baseball national championship team in college," or "I was a state champion tennis player in high school"? It's like a Big Brother game.
Yeah. can you repeat the choices one more time?
Did he say he played on the baseball national championship team in college, or did he say he was a state champion tennis player in high school?
I'll say that he was the state champion in tennis.
He was the state champion in tennis. So you get another point there. We are tied up. Will, this is one of the closest matchups we've had.
Wow,
in
what
while.
A comeback this could be. Wow.
Yeah, so here's the deal. We might be going to a tiebreaker here. Rob, if you were wrong, we will be going into a tiebreaker. If you are right.
Do you have a tiebreaker prepared, D-Schoolish?
I do have a tiebreaker prepared. Okay. It is actually another. There's 5 Bait Blake options for a reason. So you can choose either 3 or 4. If you are correct, you win. If you are incorrect, we go to a tiebreaker. So,
okay.
3 or 4, the question that everyone's been asking.
Number 3.
Did he say, "I've dated a lot of older women," or "I dated 2 former Miss Texas winners"?
I mean, if anybody is going to date two former Miss Texas winners, it's got to be Blake Towsley. I will go with the Miss Texas.
So, Rob, it is probably a good thing that Blake Towsley was not on this this Yasha tribe with Lydia, because he said he dated a lot of older women. So we are tied 4-4. We are going to a tiebreaker. Will, you are alive again as the Yankees continue to suck here. Just another freaking wild pitch. Okay, so what we're going to do, we have one more question. Will and Rob. So Will, as the guest, the first thing I'm going to do is ask you to choose either a number, either 1 or 2. If you were right, you will have the choice of either playing or passing. If you were wrong, Rob will have the choice of playing or passing. You will either get to play the question or you will either get to pass it. And if you are right, you win. If you are wrong, you lose. So 1 or 2, Will, I'm thinking of a number.
I'm thinking of a number. That's how we do this.
Well, it's either play or pass. You could get it wrong and you could win.
All right, Rob, rock, paper, scissors for the win.
Okay.
I have the number in my head.
1.
It was 2. So
Yankee fan, it's always going to be 2.
Always going to be 2, Darjo. Yeah, good point.
I know why Jordan is always so distracted. He's always watching these baseball games.
I'm usually not. I don't even know why.
Oh, I don't think he's distracted tonight.
He's
glued to this.
I am
much more competitive.
This is the most entertaining part of my evening so far.
It's gross.
So, Rob, you get to play or pass, and here is the question.
Hear the question, and then I get to decide if I'm going to play or pass?
Actually, no, that's a good point. You don't get to hear the question. You get to decide play or pass now, and if you're right, you win. If you're wrong, you lose. Or if you pass it to Will, if he's right, he wins, and if he's wrong, he loses.
I would rather be the Arthur of my own fate, and I will play.
Okay, and this is probably my favorite one. Number 4, my girlfriend's boobs.
Oh boy, easy, Deese.
Sorry.
Easy.
Let me compose myself. Okay.
Get it together. Think about the Yankees, okay?
Yeah. Okay. Here we go.
Surprise. Jordan is actually the youngest person to have ever been on Twitch.
All right. So, Rob, for the win or for the loss, did Blake Towsley say, my girlfriend's boobs got... I don't know if I can do this.
Jordan, this is overtime of This Week in Survivor History. We need you to get it together.
It's been a tough day, Rob. I gotta get it out. So, okay. I'm composed. Here we go.
Okay.
Should I just type it to you?
No.
Okay. It's not even that funny. Okay. Okay, I have to desensitize myself to this.
Oh boy! Hey, I can help you with that.
That's how you're gonna make it better. All right. Is it A, my girlfriend's boobs got bigger after taking the pill, or B, my girlfriend started taking yoga and now she's much better in bed?
Okay.
So do you need me to say that again?
No, I got it. I will go for the win. I will go with A.
A, my girlfriend's boobs got bigger after taking the pill. I don't know if that's true, but it is something Blake Towsley said. So, Rob, after a long hiatus filled with me laughing, you win the quiz 5-4. Huge comeback. Will, I'm sorry.
Will, I didn't want to win it that way.
It's okay, Rob. Hopefully I can beat you next time on a less boob-related question.
Controversy ensues. Yes. Whether we found the Jordan Kalish's weakness. Tries to conduct himself very professionally every week.
My weakness is Blake Towsley's girlfriend.
Yes, he had a complete meltdown. We'll blame it on the Yankees.
This is definitely the most I've laughed during a 14-1 Yankee deficit in the postseason.
Will, are you hanging in there? Are you okay?
I'm doing pretty well.
Yes.
I found Jordan's complete meltdown to be pretty good comedy.
This is really, really, it's not like my ridiculous laughter has gotten edited out every week. This just doesn't happen.
Yes. Yeah. No, I think people get
I'm
that.
I'm usually not writing questions about Blake Tasley's girlfriend's boobs, but that was unfortunate.
I'm trying to resist any more bait Blake jokes here with Jordan Kalish. Will, any other thoughts about this whole experience?
No, I really just have Christina Cha to blame for my loss. She's been feeding me all my answers through an earpiece. So,
yeah, maybe think of a different phone a friend next time.
Yeah.
Maybe. By the way, Will knew the JSON question. He sent it to me in the Skype chat before you got the answer wrong.
Okay, well,
so there's that. There's a little consolation prize. Will, you did get a question right that Rob didn't know.
Hey,
I'll take it.
That's a big part of the game of getting the categories that you know. What are you going to do? Will, anything you want to tell people to check out?
Go see A Star is Born in theaters.
Yes.
Check out Survivor on CBS this Wednesday at 8.
Yes. Should people go see Venom or A Star is Born?
I think people should not go see Venom.
All right. So follow at Will from America on Twitter. And of course, thank you so much, Will.
Thank you, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on, and thanks for sitting through that with all the laughter. I mean, you may have heard 5 minutes of it on the podcast, but it actually went on for about 35 minutes. So, good job if you've hung in there too, listening to the quiz.
All right, thanks so much, Jordan. Good luck with the rest of this Yankee series. Okay.
Yeah, I hope it works out. Going to the game tomorrow night, which for you guys is actually what, 2 nights ago. So hopefully it is going to turn out to be nice. But right now it is looking a little bleak.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much, Jordan.
Talk to you soon.
All right, everybody. There you have it. The This Week in Survivor History quiz. A memorable one, to be sure. Sorry for Jordan and his Yankees. It did not end up working out. So very sad. Hopefully, Jordan will be able to pick up the pieces in all different ways and get back to us next week on the This Week in Survivor History quiz again. So I'm going to get ready for I've recorded my interview with Eric Reichenbach. You'll be hearing that later on this evening, but I'm going to get ready for our feedback show. So make sure you get your questions in for that one, recording on Saturday this week. So send in your questions, survivor@robiswebsite.com or 323-282-RHAP. And of course, robhaswebsite.com/voicemail. I'll also send out a tweet probably sometime on Friday to get your questions in for the feedback show. And don't forget about the Wiggle Room as well, coming up on Monday. Okay, so looking forward to all of that. Thanks again for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.